Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
All right. Well, here we are, everyone. We're meeting a lot earlier at this point than I'm sure all of you thought we would, and frankly, I thought we would. Before we get into and try to make sense of any of this, thank you to our newest patron over at Patreon, Mustafa Talal. Mustafa, thank you for your support. And of course, to all of our wonderful patrons who make this possible, patreon.com/RomaPress to join the psychiatric ward, the psychiatric wing of the hospital, patreon.com/RomaPress. Join all the other nuts just to, even if you want that bare minimum, the reassurance that you are not the only crazy one, patreon.com/RomaPress. And then at @RomaPress. YouTube, social media, you know where to find us. I don't have to keep doing that. I'm trying to go through my usual spiel, but I've been going since very early in the morning. Andy, it was very nice of them to drop this early in the day. Usually,
I think you were sleeping. I think you were still sleeping.
Well, hold on. I have to say, the timing is very... It's very appropriate because yesterday, if I sound a bit under the weather, there has to be a metaphor hidden in there somewhere because I have been getting tests done on my esophagus, meaning I had something shoved down my throat as they did some imaging for the entire day. Again, given what happened today and the timing, there has to be a metaphor in there somewhere. I'm too tired to exactly find it, but I'm still trying to make sense of this. It was very nice of Roma. Usually when the atomic bomb is about to drop, so to speak, they're kind enough to at least give us a forewarning before the shots ring out to cover our ears, so to speak. They were very, very kind in this regard because they gave us nothing. So everybody, per usual, I'm sure everybody, whether you don't even need to be working in the media to be in this case, but your phone just be zzz, 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 which only means two things: something with Roma went crazy or somebody died. In this case, I don't know which I would have preferred, but still it is shocking. It is difficult to make sense of. The timing is so bad. It is horrible timing. And there's a match in how many days? Just a few days, 4 days.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right there. And I'm excited. I'm excited for it because
I think I ended the previous episode by saying, well, it makes no sense to do that. So shut up. Don't even think about it. Move on to Sunday. And I'm convinced somebody at Roma saw that and said, just to mess with him a little, let's do this. Particularly given that, again, yeah, he's going to have something shoved down his throat for about 2 to 3 hours as they do the imaging. So let's make that a bit more painful or at least prolong the experience for him. So I didn't watch your live stream. You did a live stream for everybody earlier today. So yes. I'm still yet to hear the full Mattioli reaction.
It was
so
painful. What is it? It was painful. Yes. The reaction, I mean, listen, I want to say, because again, people take issue with the fact that yesterday I personally went out of my way and published two articles that were based on reports from Il Messaggero and Corriere dello Sport that said Roma have full confidence in Daniele De Rossi after the equalizer that they conceded to Genoa at the last minute. There was a lot of speculation, a lot of talk. The moment the Friedkins land in Italy, even more speculation, even more rumors. Roma become the focus of media speculation with regards to De Rossi's position, but the reports come out and they maintain firmly that Friedkin came out just to comfort De Rossi, that Dan Friedkin personally came out because he hadn't been in Rome since June. He came out to see De Rossi, to give him a big boost of confidence, wish him luck, tell him that he's on his side and that the team has it and that they believe in him in leading the team forward, right? Those were the two reports that showed up yesterday. I transcribed them, I translated them, I credited the sources, they went out.
We always italicize the source.
Always.
If you get mad at something, another paper or radio or website is reporting, we make it in do you say italicization? That's not a word.
No,
in italics.
So you can
find it easily and know who to yell at. It's 2024. Yes. Learn this. We aggregate news from others. We have our own stories as well. Yell at who it comes from, not us. And for the people who say, well, why don't you investigate every single story? What the heck? What do we look like?
Yeah, it doesn't. In that instance, it's the way it is. You know, the news comes out. People are waiting for it in the sense that people were questioning what happens with De Rossi, because that result with Genoa was deflating. He seemed particularly confused with regards to the substitutions that he made in the second half. You know, people started questioning, why is Sule on the bench? Why is Pellegrini playing half-court? Okay, so it was normal for people to be curious with regards to his future. Yesterday, the news was that Dan Friedkin is ready to put his confidence in Daniele De Rossi and reaffirm his position at the club. This morning, out of the blue, John, like you told me, there was no courtesy notice. There is no forewarning. It came out of the blue in pure Friedkin style, a note from the club. You know that when you see that club statement, it's a big announcement. It's a big decision.
We need to talk.
Yes.
Nota del club.
Club. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Those two messages, I don't care, male,
terrible,
female, in your 20s or your 50s,
yes,
you read those two messages,
blood curls,
feel
blood
it curls. Go down your spine each time, because you know you're in for a world of pain.
And we're not only of pain, of surprise, because that was my surprise. John, I was sitting out in my beautiful veranda. I was sipping a cup of coffee. I had some orange juice on the side. I was ready to relax, you know.
You
right
are already 55, the 55-year-old Italian grandfather. This is fantastic. You've already reached that stage.
John,
30 years early.
John, it felt great. I was going through the morning press. There were some nonsensical articles about, you know, the stadium again. There was something about, you know, Lorenzo Pellegrini's condition ahead of Udinese and on, and, you know, innocent stuff. And then all of a sudden this thing falls into my lap, and and that's the way it was for everybody. Roma made this decision just like that, in the sense that it really feels like that, like when the club just drops that note. You feel that this was a complete and sudden, unexpected left turn that the club made. It took everyone by surprise. I don't think anyone was expecting this to happen. Even the most pessimistic journalists in Rome, you know, like yesterday there was La Repubblica, and they were like, De Rossi, what's going to happen to you now? And, you know, the bookmakers are already laying odds on Stefano Pioli becoming the next managers. And that's normal. It's to be expected. Oh. But even those people, they didn't know how to react this morning. And you find me, you know, you ask me what was my Mattioli take on it today during the live stream. My Mattioli take was I can understand fans, you know, feeling very frustrated. I can understand fans feeling completely betrayed, because in a way, you know, we went from rewarding De Rossi for what he did after coming in unexpectedly for Jose Mourinho, because De Rossi comes in just as unexpectedly as he leaves. De Rossi comes in, you know, after Jose Mourinho, the club's most decorated manager, is sacked. All of a sudden, Roma appoint a rookie coach whose only previous experience was at Spal, and it was quite disastrous. And they appoint him, and they put all their faith into him. They put all their confidence, all the eggs into this one basket. He does well, and they reward him. And then they make him the face of this new project, and they make it
public.
It's, you know,
using
it's,
air quotes that every from now on, I'm using the air quotes, whether it be ironically or not ironically, you will have to decide for yourself, because you want to talk about that word being, they talk about don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, that word or that noun has a zero meaning now. I don't want to hear that again.
Well, ever. Okay, I understand.
No.
The thing I want to make it clear is that immediately it hit me that this could not possibly have anything, it could not be purely motivated by what went on the pitch. Because I think, despite a lot of fans took issue with 3 points in four games, because, listen, we were the only ones really out there after Genoa saying, well, you know, the team is experimenting. The team has to find its mojo. The team has to get into a groove. De Rossi needs time to figure this out. A lot of fans were upset, rightfully so. You drop points at home against Empoli. You drop points against the likes of Cagliari, the likes of Genoa at the last second. Sure, be upset. But I do not think that today's decision to sack De Rossi was purely motivated by what we saw on the pitch. Because you do not do a whole campaign of making him the new face of Roma. You know, I remember Fabio Capello was coming out and saying, I hope he becomes Roma's Alex Ferguson. The Friedkins made that.
Yeah, he said that about himself too.
Remember.
About 10 seconds to hit the road, yeah?
Remember the Friedkins make that announcement that he will be renewed, that he will have his contract renewed right before Roma go and win against Milan. Remember, there is all that talk about him being the face of this new club project after Mourinho left. And in fact, Roma go out of their way and they keep their promise in the sense that they invest, they make it about him, about Gisolfi, they run a transfer market focused on what De Rossi wants, and also what he's willing to work with. De Rossi, many times over, because I see also these people, this revisionism, people coming out and saying, well, he wasn't involved in the decisions during the summer. But De Rossi himself said it many times that he was involved in these discussions and that he was happy with how it was playing out for him as a rookie coach. So
well,
you
hold
can't
on, the
say,
timing. I do want to, because you opened something, because we have to at least address this here. Here's the part that has been bothering me, and maybe this has been only the supposed or the self-described homosexuals. Is that the name?
Homosexual.
Okay. Yeah. Two things can be true at once. Okay, just because De Rossi gets sacked four matches into the season, that doesn't mean that the decision that was made in January was not the right one. I hate this sort of thinking where, just because something in the future happens, that the thing that preceded it is some way right or wrong, simply based on what happened in the now. No. This is very easy. The decision for Jose Mourinho to be sacked in January, we can debate whether you think it was right or wrong, okay? I personally think the timing was okay. Could it have been better? Sure. But he was clearly at the end, okay, of something. He just was
beyond the end. I would argue it was beyond the end. It was beyond.
You can't base what Roma did today, though, and sort of revise your take on what happened in January. Two things can be true at once. It was time for Jose Mourinho to leave in January.
But that's what I want to say is that for Mourinho, the sacking was purely football results. The results were just not coming.
Yes.
The team was dead. Yes. The team was dead in the water, and you could argue that that team had been dead since that defeat to Genoa, 4-1, at the Marassi, complete humiliation, and the Friedkins didn't pull the trigger then because Thiago Pinto stepped in. Okay.
Yes.
But that was purely because the results were not in. Remember, in the lead-up of Mourinho's sacking, Roma drop out of Coppa Italia, and they lose against Milan. So two results that were huge blows to Mourinho, and that was the end of it. Here, I refuse to believe that it's about the football results so far. I understand 3 points are upsetting, but nobody can convince me that this was only based on the results. because this is too big of a left turn, in the sense that this has to be motivated by something that went on behind the scenes. Because again, you don't run the kind of campaign Roma run for De Rossi, making him the face of the club for these last few months and for the future. You don't sign him to a three-year deal. You don't invest over 100 million euros in the transfer market, getting him the players that he wants, just to all of a sudden scrap that after four games. You don't do it. It just doesn't happen. So I refuse to believe that, you know, a lot of people will look at this and say, well, they didn't give him enough time. I agree with you that sacking him was wrong, but I do not believe we can look at it as Roma did not give him enough time to express himself. Roma acted based on something that we don't know about, something that happened behind the scenes. This cannot be Roma just looking at the four games and saying, yeah, he doesn't have it in him. Let's sack him. I refuse. Nobody will be able to dissuade me from thinking that there was more to it. I can understand Friedkins were growing impatient with the way the season started. Sure, it's a business, so they understand. They've been in this situation last season. The start to the season with Mourinho was awful, so they've been through it. They know what it's like. But I do not believe this is purely a football technical decision. It's not. There is more to it. This makes sense if there is tension behind the scenes, if there is some sort of disagreement, if there is something else that motivates this drastic measure, because it is very drastic, and it's not about De Rossi, his tactics, his team selection. It's not. It's got to do with something that we don't know about yet.
It has to be. And the name everybody is going to cite, Lino Suluku. And again, how much will come out, I think it is going to be very difficult. Daniele De Rossi, De Rossi does not talk. He does not leak to anybody. He's very difficult. Very difficult to get to sort of penetrate his mind, so to speak. I don't think he's going to let the cat out of the bag, given how peculiar the circumstances are, especially too. You would think it won't take him very long to find another opportunity. So letting things out could potentially affect, it would look bad upon him to.
But I also, he's not the type. He's not the type. He proves
no,
it.
No,
he
no,
proves
no.
it right away by not making any comments as he left Trigoria. He smiled. He stopped to do autographs. De Rossi, because De Rossi knows that you have to pick your battles, and you could even see there were videos of him hugging with Ghisolfi. So he knows how to make it look good, in the sense that he knows that some things you just keep behind closed doors. And I understand there are just things that in this city, if you expose them to light, it will just explode right in your face. So you can't. He knows that if he says something, at least right now, everything becomes 10,000 times more complicated, and it's already complicated enough.
Yes, there's no need to do that. And it is somewhat comical. This is just for me personally, because having been around this for so long, I always do get a bit of entertainment seeing some of the characters that go outside of Trigoria. I mean, the video of the guy, instead of opening his door, climbing out of his window and yelling at Pellegrini. First, there's levels of degeneracy.
Can we at least address that? Can we recognize that, sure, there is a need for a confrontation between fans, players, and club, but there should also be some kind of selection process into who goes to the players and addresses them? Because most of the time, these guys can't even put three sentences together. They can't string two words together.
If you want the metaphor for trash italiano, that was it. Like when you hear us, we've used that word before. It's sort of doesn't really have an exact definition, but it just, that's it. I don't know how else to say it. That would probably put, you know, the 59-year-old uncle with the tanda type.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Someone takes a deflated football and he hands it to Pellegrini and says, give it to Juric. I'm like, what does that mean? What's that supposed to mean? I don't understand. What are we supposed to do with it? You know, or they go out of their way and they start applauding El Shaarawy's car. Like El Shaarawy just passes through them and they applaud him. Like, I'm like, who makes the distinction? Who is the good guy? Who's the bad guy in this narrative? I don't understand. You know, I don't understand. Well, like I just want to put it out there because then I'm being told that I'm not enough of a Roma fan, that I don't know the history. I don't know the culture. I'm just going to say this. I'm fully behind confrontation. I understand fans need to be addressed. Fans want some clarity. Totally fine. But at least if you're going to go there and if you're going to confront, at least have some more arguments rather than saying, hey, shove it up your ass, you know, or hey, what about your mom?
Well,
you know,
I got some shit because I said, guys, don't go to the house of Dybala to applaud him. I got some shit for that. There's no boundaries. This country is very particular in that regard, I think.
I just understand there has to be dialogue.
Our friends in the UK can correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, I don't see the fans of Spurs going to the flat of.
Maybe we don't know. What I mean is, if you want clarity from the club, at least make some effort in how you address them. And there's nobody's going to come your way if you just stand outside Trigoria and scream obscenities at everything and everybody. I mean, it's not a riot. It's a confrontation. Well, it's trying to get some clarity. If you want Lina Suluku to come out of the club, she's not going to come out of the club and say something to you if you're just out there, you know, and threatening violence or something. So let's have it out there. I'm all for it. I want dialogue between fans and club, but at least choose who represents. Choose someone. Choose a way. I mean,
the messenger matters sometimes.
Have some clarity. Absolutely. Have some clarity. I mean, you are asking for clarity. Have someone who can actually say something without having to resort to vulgarities. That's all.
Well, I have seen a lot of vulgarities, and it took me back to the days of Juan James Palotta, because I am seeing the usual get the American out. I am seeing they are playing all the hits that they pulled out for Palotta. You know, 2 or 3 years ago, it is.
I'm being taken back to when Morgan De Sanctis was being threatened. And people forget this, but do we remember we had fans who were unhappy with Nainggolan? Nainggolan, remember, there is that video of him in the car. You know, I mean, fans have always had issues, but it's one thing to have issues, and another thing to just go out there and be rude for no reason. So you can be frustrated and demand clarity, but at least bring something of your own to the table. In this case, I think De Rossi did just the right thing by not saying anything, by not fueling any more this situation as it is. Because if there is one person that knows how difficult it will be for someone else to step into this situation and pull Roma out of what I think is like sort of the lowest point in terms of relations between the fans and the club, I think since De Rossi's retirement as a player, remember, there is that weird moment where Roma just have to bring in Claudio Ranieri as a caretaker in order to soothe the environment. It was a hopeless situation. Everybody was unhappy. We had just crashed out of Champions League.
De Rossi comes out and says, nobody ever told me anything. I just got told to get the F out.
Yeah, and I wish Cristante were 99 Cristantes or something like that, you know. So it was a lot
to
take.
Today, man.
It was a lot to take for Roma fans. And I think this is the lowest that we've been. And if there is one person that knows how difficult it will be for someone else to step into this setting, with still so much to play, because it almost feels like the energy right now is like, oh, the season is over. No, the season just started. There is the Europa League hasn't even started. So we still have everything to play for, and yet we're already banging the funeral drums. Whoever has to step into this situation will have such a huge task ahead of him. This someone happens to be Ivan Juric, which we'll get to later, but if I applaud De Rossi, because for sure there was a lot of anger, frustration, disappointment going on in him today. He didn't say anything. And to me, that says so much about him. I applaud him because more and more there's this need to come out and let out your frustrations. But he understood fully well that this would be putting the club in an even more challenging spot.
I couldn't agree more with you. However, as far as the criticism and the dialogue goes, I think ever since the Friedkins arrived, which is what, 4 years ago at this point? August 2020. Wow. I can't recall really one glaring instance where I considered what they were doing. Maybe today is, maybe the decision of today of De Rossi, egregious, maybe too big of a word or too detrimental of a word. But I would say, I don't think I have ever been questioning a decision they have made so soon, so quickly, and my first reaction to something they have done being, why the hell are you doing this? Now, having, again, just spent an inordinate amount of time trying to figure out more about these people, this decision, just taking this decision solely on its own and analyzing it, goes against everything I have ever
That's what I say. That's what I say when I understand people feel betrayed by this, because it does betray 4 years of work, as in it just goes against everything that was built up to this point.
It's antithetical to every single way they operate, whether it be football or not football. I can't imagine, the Toyotas, they stop selling for a couple of months, and they just say, okay, we sell off our car dealership or something like that. Knowing everything I do about them, this is completely and entirely against the way they tend to operate. So I agree with you that something had to have happened. Now, there are people on social media. I had a few people saying, well, you are speculating about this thing with Suluku. You are guessing. You are pulling something out of thin air, so to speak. Now, I tweeted it out. You can find it on Patreon, but we made it available to everybody. I spoke about Suluku and her growing influence. I posted it on the 1st of March. I learned some things after Thiago Pinto departs. We know he leaves at the end of January. And in that month, I was told by those in the club and then also people connected to players, and I want to be careful how I say this, just people connected to Roma, whether internally or externally. I'll just keep it at that. About the increasing role she has been given. Because remember, we have to give some context to this. Suluku, when she first came, Andy, and I know we've said this 1 million times, now it will be one more. She was to be the person who was viewed as the business, the face of the business. Yeah, having very little to do with on the pitch matters.
Running the brand.
Yes. She was on one side, and then the other side, you had the on the pitch, the sporting side, so to speak, which is what Thiago Pinto occupied until he decided to leave at the end of January earlier this year. They completely upended that model, and they did a more top-down, singular sort of model where you have the usual, the CEO, the upper executives, and then you have also under them, whether it be on the field on the pitch or off the pitch,
they narrow it down to a very select number of people, because before it was just, there was a whole army of executives. Now the reference points are Dan Friedkin, Ryan Friedkin, Suluku, Lombardo, Florent Ghisolfi, the coach. That's it. Those are the layers. It's quite clear where things stand in terms of the hierarchy. Whereas before, everything was up for grabs, basically.
It was, but it is not speculation to say that something had to have gone wrong with Lina Soluku because she did not have any influence on the appointment of De Rossi. That was Thiago Pinto in conjunction with the Friedkin. She was advised on the situation, but as far as the final decision coming down to it, her input did not have significant impact. Well, when you see her grow in influence, when her voice becomes stronger throughout the club following the departure of Thiago Pinto, she begins to acquire.
Well, mind you, I just want to say Thiago Pinto had some issues with Soluku because as soon as Thiago Pinto leaves, yes, there is like a whole campaign of articles from like two newspapers specifically that basically run a whole anti Lina Soluku campaign. All of a sudden,
let's just say he did an information dump for three and a half years. Three and a half years. He didn't say a thing, did not say a word. I tried talking to him on his Portuguese mobile, his Italian mobile.
Yeah.
Doesn't say a word. And then he
except
dumps
for
two
those
specific
press,
people.
Yes. Except for those press conferences and except for those Sky Sport interviews, which he did with Di Marzio regularly, he didn't say much. And then all of a sudden, as soon as he leaves, there are these articles, I think from La Repubblica, and then I don't remember exactly who
there
else.
Was one with Corriere dello Sport.
There you go. And there are these whole profiles on Lina Soluku being this really ominous presence. And it wasn't coincidence that happened with that timing of Thiago Pinto's departure.
Not at all. Very easy to tell what happened there. But there is no doubting that she has a very, very significant role when it comes to on-the-pitch matters, that she has that now compared to, January is 8 months ago. She did not have the same voice, influence, or responsibility in January as she does now. She has gained influence. She has gained power within the club. And I wrote about this and discussed it back in March when it was becoming clear, and you were hearing it from people still at the club, within the club, and those outside of the club. Even agents of players were saying it and confirming it. So here's the thing. She does not, Andy, as you know, she does not give many interviews. In fact, as far as her Italian goes, it is not great. Which is why when there are things put out there in English, let's say a website that puts out all the articles surrounding Roma from Italian into English, it is why we have heard from her a couple of times, which I already take issue with. If you're reading that much, I would say probably go outside and, as the kids say, touch grass. Touch some grass. Don't worry about what Roma Press is writing, Lina. But this is where I want to at least get something from the Friedkins, because you do not appoint De Rossi in January. It goes relatively well. You do not hand to him 3 years of a contract in June. And then 3 months later, you say, oh, okay, there's the door. Goodbye. Something had to have happened, because you do not hand to a guy a contract of 3 years without there being some significant disconnect about the direction, about the something went wrong, and it had to have gone wrong recently, because three, four days ago, this was not even on the radar. You have the result against Genoa happen, okay? Within the 24 to 48 hours after that, you're not hearing anything. You this wasn't even in
there
the
was
mind.
Nothing. No, there was nothing. There was nothing. Nobody really, there was only those speculations of like bookmakers, stuff like that, you know, bookies, the odds.
But that's always, sort of
it's ridiculous. It was completely silent, you know, like, and then there was the speculation regarding if the Friedkin's arrival was planned, pre-planned, you know. Then I think there is also that thing of, you know, today a lot of articles, there was this whole, one thing that I pointed out in my live stream, John, was that something bothered me about the way De Rossi spoke about this Zaleski situation. Clearly, he was not on board with the decision by the club to exclude him. De Rossi had made it abundantly clear in his press conference pre-Genoa that the decision was Roma's, not his, to freeze out Zaleski. Now, I'm not here saying that De Rossi got sacked because of his friendship with Zaleski. I'm not there to say that, but I do think that De Rossi, who
you want to talk about catching a stray.
No, because
this would be the worst of all time.
Because I do take that as a sign of something was off, because De Rossi was always so very satisfied with and open about the club's decisions. You know, he always endorsed those decisions. He always said, oh, I'm in constant touch with the Friedkins. Oh, I'm constantly talking to Saluku. Oh, Gisolfi and I, we're agreeing on things. And then he went out in that presser, and when people asked him about Zaleski, he said, well, listen, I think this is all about contracts, and this is not my decision, and I guess if he renews, then he can get reinstated, but it's not me that you should be talking to. And I think that shows that maybe something was not right in that regard. Now, again, I still fail to believe that things just changed, you know, 180 degrees after Genoa equalized at the last second. And I will not be convinced otherwise. That in of itself, that goal by the winter does not change De Rossi's fate. Something else does. That does not do the trick.
You would hope not, because if that's the case, then you have a president and vice president that are far too influenced by singular results with very little regard for the long-term vision, which they are not. That is not how they are. I know too much, and I've learned too much about the Friedkin Group in these 4-5 years at this point now. That is not how they operate. So what specifically happened, I don't know. The thing about the Friedkins coming in, returning to Roma, obviously that is important, but it's not as if their presence would have mattered in some way or another. I mean, something happened. There was a break in some relationship, in my opinion, and I don't know what it was. But there is no denying, and I want to impart onto people, that this thing with Lino Saluku, it matters. It absolutely matters. So to discount it as saying, oh, well, what is she doing? She doesn't know what she is doing. It's not true. You know, it has to be Dan and Ryan Friedkin. Many things can be true at the same time. But I can tell you unequivocally, without hesitation, her voice has grown.
Yeah.
And if that is better
guess
for
what?
Work,
she's,
we will wait and see.
Guess what? Because she's the one who's always there. Saluku is the one who's always there. Always.
Yes.
In the stadium, training pitch, Trigoria, meeting, day, night, negotiations, all of the transfer market. Always there. In the meetings for the stadium, always there. Watching the game, always there. During the trips, during the freaking trip to Australia for a meaningless friendly, she's there. That has to say something, you know, like that's not you know, Guido Fienga just sipping on a martini in some chalet while the transfer market is going, because he's got agents running Roma's transfer market for him. Saluku is involved in basically every single facet right now at Roma.
Yes.
She handles the business part. She oversees the sporting side. She's in constant touch with Gisolfi. She was in constant touch with De Rossi, as he numerous times repeated that he was always, when, remember those opening months, the media speculated, well, are you being treated fairly by the ownership? Are they treating you like some kind of pawn? Are they taking care of you? And he was always, I'm being looked after. Everybody is treating me with respect. I'm in constant touch with Friedkins. I'm not worried about my renewal. So you can't come out and say, oh, it's purely football and they didn't give him a chance. No, they didn't give this project a chance. That's different.
Right.
But that has to have to do with something that we don't know about. It will probably emerge, but I don't think it will emerge right away. It will take a lot of time. And in the meantime, we can get to, you know, we can question this. We can really be frustrated because it sort of, as you said, betrays everything that's been built up. I still think that, you know, a lot of good was being done. And this thing with De Rossi seemed to gain traction, you know, with him just, it made sense. It made sense for him to be the prodigal son who comes back, fulfills his dream of coaching his boy club, you know, leads him to success. And I was ready to go through the ups and downs. I was ready to suffer. I was ready for the experiments. I was ready for the disappointment. So I'm disappointed. Well,
don't say another word, because that's the perfect transition before we go.
I want to preface that I want to go easy on the guy. Because again, I think this is the worst situation a manager could walk into right now.
You think I'm disappointed? I'm so happy. Listen, if you're going to pick a replacement, the 55-year-old guy who, by the way,
no, he's 49. He's 49.
He's
49.
Listens to he enjoys death metal music. He speaks Italian better than 33% of the populace of Roma.
Yeah.
Pulls off, by the way, a perfect accent of the region of Veneto. Are you kidding me? Let's go.
And he made Marash Kumbulla's career. He made Marash Kumbulla one of the best young defender in Serie A. So no,
yes,
honestly, John. Here's
just give a quick verdict, because we're not going to do a full breakdown. Everybody knows how Juris plays football.
Well, listen,
I'm excited.
I'm not here to tell you, to tell fans to feel good about this. I'm not here to tell fans that, you know, you will be getting champagne football. I'm not here to say that this would be my first choice. But I'm here to say this. In this situation, if you ask me, do you want Thomas Tuchel, Terzic, or Maurizio Sarri? I'm saying I want Ivan Juric. You know why? Because this guy has seen so much crap over the years. This guy has been faced with such difficult circumstances, whether it was at Genoa, where he was called back numerous times to talk about paying your dues.
He's paid them in full.
Whether it was at Hellas Verona, whether it was at Torino, for 3 years, the man lasted 3 years with Urbano Cairo. That's not nothing. There is a great video of him being going and having a fist fight with the former sporting director. So this is a guy who has seen a lot, John. This is a guy who's been through it. This is a guy this is going to be his biggest job. This is going to be I've made this
which
parallel.
He deserves, by the way, he deserves a big job.
We agree on two things. We've said it a number of times whenever we had to face his teams. We said, oh, this is Shithouser 101, because that's what Juric is known for. Juric is known for taking teams that are crap and at least making them look like football teams, at least giving them a sense of organization, okay? Look at Torino's squad from last season. That team conceded just a little over 10 goals than Roma last season. That team, that Torino side, with those ambitions, that Torino side was almost battling for a spot in Europe. But I'm not here to paint him as some kind of savior. I'm just saying, if I want someone who knows Serie A, if I want someone who knows how to completely ignore the noise around him and go about his way, and someone who knows how to give the team a defensive shape and also give them some kind of character, some kind of semblance of organization when the team is all over and is running out of ideas, that's Juric. So if you ask me, do you want Terzic? I like Terzic. He did a great job with Borussia Dortmund. But do I want someone who's never been to to Serie A. Do I want someone who doesn't speak Italian in this very instance? No. I want someone who will go out there before we face Udinese and looks at the media like nothing, like it's bread and butter, like it's nothing, like it means nothing to him because he's seen it, he's been through it, he's done it. And also I want someone who meets this as an opportunity of a great job. Because this, despite all the criticism, is still a great job in the sense that this is a big deal for any manager like Juric, who for years has had to eat crap in mid-table or most of the time relegation favorite sides. And somehow he's made a living of surviving in Serie A just in these teams where everything seemed to be going against him. So I think this is the choice that you make when you want to survive. And Roma, unfortunately, only 4 match days into the new season, they need to survive. They need results. They need to start cranking them out, because otherwise Trigoria will be set on fire and you will be looking at, you know, at just another big failure. If I'm not saying, listen, I think this is never a first option. We know that he wasn't the first option, but I do feel like if there is a man whom I want in the trenches next to me, for some reason, it is Juric, because Juric just has the track record that you need if you want to have a manager who leads you to survive, not play champagne football, not, you know, be the new Guardiola, not be some kind of magician. You just need someone who takes care of you, who rallies the troops and has you survive despite all everything going against you, which is the case at Roma right now.
I couldn't agree more. I can tell how much faith I have in the person sometimes by how quickly they block me on WhatsApp, which he has already done. Applausi. I'm excited. Here we go. Ivan Juric. Oof. Let's see. Until after the match against Udinese. Yikes. Until then. Ciao.